Good morning, Carborough, Chapel Hill, and the World Wide Web. Welcome to Claudio Speakeasy, the literary and all else, on WCOM LP FM 103.5. And now, bringing back the art of the spoken word through narratives and poetry, the Richard Burton of the Triangle, the Richard Harris of Carborough. The artist of whom reviewer Alan R. Hall has said his writings and performances are a true tribute to the written and spoken word. Our own Renaissance man, storyteller, narrator, author, classical poet, actor, host, and stage manager to the stars, adventurer, photographer, visual artist, gourmet chef, entertainer, and radio show host, the bard of WCOM, and he will wash your cat. Host of the Claudio Speakeasy, the literary and all else, here's Claudio.
Just as soon as I wash that cat, I'm throwing it over to you, so you catch it.
That's right. I'll dry it.
Good. That's John Paul trying to get me a job. Good morning, folks. This is Claudio Speakeasy, the literary and all else. And that was Maestro John Paul speaking. We have the... Well, say good morning to the good people out there.
Good morning to the good people out there.
You've said everything else.
I've tried to.
And, you know, people think I have no focus because of you.
I couldn't really get everything in, but no. I covered most of it.
You went into my black diary and got all that juice out of it. We have the pleasure of having Alex Weiss of A Different Drum on with us today. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, Claudio. Good to be here.
And we're going
to
dig into his brain. He had a very unfortunate accident not too long ago, and we're going to talk a little bit about your malady and then upcoming events.
Yeah, sounds good.
Fortunately, his brain is still intact.
Yeah, my head didn't get hurt. Everything else got broken.
It didn't bash his brains out, but they tried.
I've got a few trick questions. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
My memory was never good, so.
Oh, so there's the excuse, huh? I just want to go over a couple of things here very quickly that certain friends send me that they get right off the internet, and I thought everybody out there might enjoy this particular one, giving our political inadequacies out there. This is entitled A New Element. We have discovered a new element. Lawrence Livermore Laboratories has discovered the heaviest element yet known to science, the new element. Governmentium, GV, has one neutron, 25 assistant neutrons, 88 deputy neutrons, and 198 assistant deputy neutrons, giving it an atomic mass of 312. These 312 particles are held together by forces called morons, which are surrounded by vast quantities of lepton-like particles called pions. I can say that word. P-E-O-N-S.
That's true.
Since governmentium has no electrons, it is inert. However, it can be detected because it impedes every reaction with which it comes into contact. A tiny amount of governmentium can cause a reaction that would normally take less than a second to take from 4 days to 4 years to complete. This we know. Just look outside the window.
Yeah, just take a look outside.
Governmentium has a normal half-life of 2 to 6 years. It does not decay, we're sad to report, but instead undergoes a reorganization in which a portion of the assistant neutrons and deputy neutrons exchange places. In fact, governmentium's mass will actually increase over time, since each reorganization will cause more morons to become neutrons, forming isodopes.
Ew, yes.
Heavy on the dopes.
Heavy on the dope. Of course, we're talking about a parliamentary system here.
Yes, we are.
Yes.
This characteristic of moron promotion leads some scientists to believe that governmentium is formed whenever morons reach a critical concentration. Boy, no, that must be happening. This hypothetical quantity is referred to as critical morass. When catalyzed with money, governmentium becomes administratium, an element that radiates just as much energy as governmentium, since it has half as many peons but twice as many morons. Yes, well, may God help us survive this growing mass before it becomes a black hole that sucks us all in.
Too late. Sorry, too late.
Critical morass.
Yes, there we go.
We're already sucked in.
In the throes of it. And isn't... we'll get to something I wanted to point out a little later. A little information on recession, depression, and recovery. This is actually discovered on somebody's T-shirt. Recession is when your neighbor loses his job. Depression is when you lose yours. And recovery is when Obama loses his. Somebody didn't like Obama.
Yeah, that's a right-wing
I think so.
Approach.
And we're not really winging it either well, to the left or right. I don't like the morons at all.
It's not really right wing. It's partisan. It's a kind of a Republican partisan joke, I guess.
Yes, and we prefer to be religious on the speaking. That's
true.
This one here I thought is kind of funny. I refer to this as Bush going Al Johnson going Obama. Two quotes, one pitiful, one pretty straightforward. And this is a direct quote. My friends, we live in the greatest nation in the history of the world. I hope you'll join me as we try to change it, Barack Obama.
That sounds like something George Bush
It sounds exactly
said.
Like a Bushism.
It does.
I'm convinced there's no difference between the two.
There's a small difference. Obama can actually put a whole sentence together.
Well, this is true. There is the intellectual level.
Yeah, and he can actually speak off the top of his head. But that doesn't make him any more benign than Bush.
In fact,
it makes him probably worse.
And now he's using this third world tactic of going into the school system and talking to children. Where'd that come from?
Well, I don't think that's so bad. I mean, I don't think it's that useful, but I don't really have any objection to it. Reagan did it. Bush did it.
What are you saying? That you really haven't made a good point yet.
There is no good point.
I prefer to stick with a statement
That's
by John
the point.
Wayne.
There's no good point.
Right, exactly. John Wayne said, "Life's tough. It's even tougher if you're stupid."
Yes.
And one more closing statement. How to save the airlines.
How?
We have to dump the male flight attendants. No one wanted them in the first place. Replace all of the female flight attendants with good-looking strippers. What the hell? They don't even serve food anymore, so what's the loss? The strippers would at least triple the alcohol sales and get a party atmosphere going in the cabin. And, of course, every businessman in this country would start flying again, hoping to see naked women.
Well, there is an airline that for a while had naked stewardesses.
No, I remember us having was a Big Al on, and we talked about that nude flight to Switzerland nudist colony.
That's right. They had a particular. This was actually a commercial airline.
Yes.
That flew naked people. Flights that were specifically, you booked them because you wanted to have nude stewards on your airplane.
Right. And so, and why did that make the pilots nude too?
No, I don't think the pilots were nude.
Okay.
No.
They were the ones embarrassed.
I don't think the FAA regulations would allow that.
It reminds me of the things you see in the back of the Independent about the maids. Cleaning nude and
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Ooh, darling, get that on the floor there, would you? Yes. Anyway, because of the tips, female flight attendants wouldn't need a salary, thus saving even more money. I suspect tips would be so good that we could charge the women for working, and that's the end of that note. I just thought I'd leave that in your competent hands, Jean-Paul.
Thank you very much.
Should I
go with this?
Call the airport immediately.
Let's see. It says here, headlines on this date 4 years ago.
A bit of a fact finder by John Paul. Yeah.
Some facts. Republicans spending $42 million on inauguration while troops die in unarmored Humvees.
Mm-hmm.
Headline today, Obama inauguration will cost only $120 million. So he's also spending millions and millions and millions of dollars on his inauguration.
And this is obviously more important than protecting our soldiers.
And we're still having our people die in Afghanistan and Iraq.
Right.
I'm still looking for the big change. What's the big difference?
The audacity of hope. Yes, where is that? How do you deliver that with the spine of a jellyfish?
Yeah, where is the big change?
So, you know.
It seems to me that in some cases we've changed for the worse.
Yeah, well, he's certainly enforcing a lot of the doctrines that Bush put in motion. He's enforcing them.
He's expanded some of them.
Yes.
It's just incredible.
The thing that amazes me is the American people are who financed him into office. But the moment he got in office, he started jumping in for the rich guys.
I should mention that the inauguration is not paid for with tax dollars.
No, but I'm saying that the investments, remember, across the internet?
Yeah.
He was brought in by the regular Joe, but then switched sides just as soon as he got in.
Well, you know, I think if you really paid attention in the primaries and the campaign, you would see that what Obama is doing now is what he campaigned on. He never really said he was going to do all those things that people said that
really?
He was going to do. No. If you look at his speeches very carefully, you realize he really never said he was going to do the things that the people who voted for him want him to do.
So you're trying to tell me he ran on the George Bush's My Buddy ticket?
He never said he was going to stop the war in Iraq. He never said that.
He said he was going to pull troops out.
He said he was going to bring combat troops home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's a hedge. Mm-hmm. Combat troops...
Political speech.
...is a way to get around. And you can leave people there saying, well, they're not combat troops. They're just there to train, or they're just there if they're needed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not assigned as combat troops, but they're still combat troops, and they're right. still there.
And but he was I don't think he was for going into Iraq in the first place.
No, he wasn't.
But
so he's trying to make the
best. But that's a useless policy position if you then vote to fund the war every time the funding comes up before you in Congress. Mm-hmm. If you voted to fund the war, you are for the war. Okay?
I would say so.
There's no two ways about it. That's like me telling my daughter back in the old days, no, you can't have any more sugary treats. Here's $5.
You told this to your daughter?
Go buy what you want.
You told this to your daughter?
I did, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay.
And she hates me for it even to this day.
Anyway, let's go on to more pleasant things. Enough of that.
No, that's not political stuff. That's
no,
just
it's a matter
sense.
Of fact. It's what we deal
it's
with.
It's common them. Sense.
I told that to my daughter, too. Now she's a pastry chef.
Uh-oh. See what you started?
Yeah, true. See? Yeah, but there's benefits in that for you, aren't there?
I don't know. I haven't seen him yet.
No,
so I'm still cooking for her.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Oh, that's a clever trick.
She works at a Southern Season.
So she does strictly desserts. Well, that's pretty good. Southern yeah. Season's got a strong yeah. reputation. Yeah. Yeah. So she
let's,
basically...
Let's get you a little closer to the mic.
Yeah, so people can see you.
I could be closer. There I could do it. Go. I am mobile enough.
People need to see you better.
There you go. Yeah, people can.
There we go.
We want people to see your teeth very clearly, mm-hmm. right up next to the mic. There.
We're gonna switch rails over here to Alex Weiss, who actually landed on the rails not too long ago, but actually...
I landed in the bush.
In the bush, yes, indeed.
Yeah. That's not good.
That's not George Bush.
That's not good. No, you don't want to land in the bush.
So anyway, let's bounce over to you and tell us what happened. I was a little concerned hearing about the accident which happened in June.
June 23rd.
And you still look like you're aching pretty badly.
Oh, well, this is nothing from what I was.
Well,
I mean,
I'm sure that's true.
I have nothing but the feeling of... The miracle process of healing.
You miss those painkillers, yeah. though, don't you?
Mm-hmm. No, I tell you, I'm glad I'm off it. And compared to where I was, yeah, I'm still achy, but it's as long as I keep getting better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
this is August has been the month of therapy.
Yeah,
you know, doing stretches, going to a therapist for my ankle, a specialist for my wrist. Now I'm going one for the one. That
well, let's go. Let's start at the beginning of the picture. You were on the road. There was a strange situation happening from somebody from the county. And give us the story so we'll know what happened to you.
Basically got hit by a car that made a spontaneous left-hand turn.
And you were on a motorcycle.
Yeah, my shadow, which is now just a shadow, unfortunately.
Ouch.
yeah, it's a shadow of its former self.
Yeah. See, it ended up a lot worse than me, but I ended up fracturing 9 ribs and
that's
dislocating a shoulder, 2 wrists and an ankle.
She
and
basically gave,
collapsed.
She gave no turn signal and just turned to the left, essentially.
Yeah. She had her flashing lights on like she was going to pull over to the right. But she faked me out, uh-huh. and I was focusing on passing her, and wham.
Boom.
I had no chance to respond. It was just a thought, honk the horn. And then the next thing... My leg was hit with the car, by the car and
pinned against the exhaust pipe.
Yeah, which burnt is on
hot.
One side.
Yes,
and fractured on the other, and I went on from there. And I was conscious through the whole thing when the ambulance finally came and took about a half hour because neither of us had cell phone reception.
Oh Lord! So yes,
and I laid
somebody?
There, and she tried to. She, the woman who hit me stopped and said, "Are you okay?" I said, "Call 911. She tried, and there was no reception. I had my cell phone in my pocket like it is now, and I'm laying on the grass, and I said, "Try mine." And she said, "No, I can't touch you. It's against regulations." And so we laid there. And then she flagged someone down immediately, and we, you know, got someone, yeah.
Goodness.
Got someone to get the ambulance. But it seemed like a long time for me laying there.
So what was determined that was wrong with you at the time?
Well, when they found me on the ambulance guy was pretty good. He didn't not want to move me. He was, I guess most motorcycle accidents.
Probably afraid of a neck fracture.
Neck and head.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and amazingly, everything else is broken, kind of. But not, I didn't hit my head. I was never unconscious, and my neck was a little sprained. But
you had your helmet on, right?
Yeah, I had my helmet on. He wouldn't move me though because he was afraid of that. And I kept telling him, "My neck's okay. It's like my ankles kill me." And he said, "Well, you got so much pain from these things, you might not feel your broken neck."
That's possible. Yeah.
Ah.
So he was very cautious. I can't remember.
Well, that is
at
the
that
right
point,
way
my
to go.
My whole vision was, I went from sitting up. It took me all my effort with my broken wrist to get my helmet off. But before I got my helmet off, there was 30 seconds of silence, of motionless, because I could not breathe. Whoa. For 30 seconds. I stood up, not on my feet, but I was on my knees in the grass, just not breathing and wondering, is this it?
Yeah, yeah.
Fortunately, I had played football, and I, you know, as a kid, had the wind knocked out of me, and I was hoping that was what it was. And after 30 seconds, slowly, I was able to breathe again, and I got my helmet off, and I laid down. And from that point on, for the next 2 days, I did not move from a lying down position. I couldn't.
Ouch.
So when you're seeing me a little achy now, starting from a lying down position in 2 days of you know, yeah, I'm healed miraculously, you know.
I'm just surprised to still see you sort of in what appears to be a slightly injurious state, since this goes all the way back to June.
June 23rd. But people that have had broken ribs tell me, and even the doctor who wanted to put a metal plate in my chest and one in my wrist, and they were saying, you know, if you do this, you'll heal within 3 months. If you don't, it could take 6 months. And it's been 2 months and two weeks.
Yeah.
So for these guys, the doctor said to me, this guy had not much of a sense of humor. He'd sit down, and each day he'd say something else that would kind of like push me to the... One day he said to me, you know, if you were 60 or older, I wouldn't give you very good odds for getting past this.
Oh, that's encouraging.
I was going to be 58 in 4 days, so I was like, hey, I'm under the line.
Yeah, I'm under the line, yeah.
One day he said to me, the second day, when I was still like lying motionless, you know, I could not move. I had a catheter up my penis.
Yeah.
I did not could not move from except for barely press the button to get me up to so I can eat a little bit. But actually, I wasn't eating. I was being fed intravenously, and I was hungry all the time. But this doctor said, you need to walk and you need to cough or you won't make it. And he was right.
Yeah.
But at the point that he said that to me, it felt like he might as well have said, I need to fly like Spider-Man from room to room.
Because I couldn't see how you could do anything.
And the next day, the therapist came in and got me up and got me walking. And once I got walking, I walked all around the floor.
Yeah.
Well, the next day, he saw me walking around the floor. And each day, they were concerned about the fluid in my chest cavity because my lung was partially collapsed. And they thought I'd get pneumonia, and I could hardly breathe from the ribs. So they kept x-raying that to see what was happening with the fluid. And he'd kind of come up with the results. And he saw me walking around, and I said, hey, doc. And he said, I got to talk to you. I said, oh, follow me.
Can I give you another dose of negative?
My wife was with me throughout the whole, every day. So we walked together. He followed behind me. I could tell he was just watching me. And we got into my room, and I put the wheeler aside, and I just sat down on the bed. And he looked at me and said, you know, I'm looking at these x-rays, and I wouldn't imagine you'd be walking around like this. And my wife said, you know, Dr. Shapiro was his name. She said, well, doctor, are you treating the x-rays or are you treating the person?
Yeah, and I'm beginning to wonder myself.
He just kind of said, oh, I'm treating the person. And he said, well, you got a good heart and you were in good shape when this happened, so you'll, you know. And then he was gone.
Finally something semi-positive.
What he did say, he said, okay, now that you can walk, I'm releasing you. He said, oh, now you can walk. You don't need us anymore.
Stumble on out of here.
He said, we're not doing anything for you. And I said, wait a second, that's not true. To me, you guys saved my life. The ambulance and the hospital, I really have nothing bad to say about Duke in terms of how they treated me. I thought everyone was amazing and very attentive and very humane. So I had nothing but good, except for this lack of sense of humor from the doctor, or his pointedness and kind of focusing on the negative in a way. But even he, maybe he did that to make me, you know, push harder to get better.
Yeah, I don't know, though. That could have been done in a little bit of a different spirit. I see.
He respected it. He wanted to put a plate in. I said, no, my body's been through enough trauma. He said, you're right, okay. Hmm. He respected it. No one, I felt respected and listened to. And you know, so I have nothing bad to say about Duke. I was very appreciative for the orderlies, the people that, every time I had to move, it was the most painful experience in the world. And it's hard to imagine, just like just a little shift. When they had to shift me to X-ray, you know, and I was telling them, please, easy. And they really tried. They tried.
Oh, yeah, it's impossible to not hurt.
And it's interesting what you told me about going off the medicine itself that you were taking was somewhat addictive.
It took, and I didn't realize it, but it took forever to... as a matter of fact, my wife said she could still smell it on me, and it's been 3 weeks.
And it was what was the medicine? It's oxycodone.
Oxycodone, yeah. Mm-hmm. And although I recommend, I don't know how I would have lived.
I'm sure.
I was in such pain. It didn't make you, I didn't feel drugged. I just felt good. It just took the edge off of everything. But trying not, I could not sleep after. For some reason, it just gets in your body, and there's this restlessness that comes over you.
It's called jonesing.
That's what it gives
you, the Jones.
That's it, baby.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, let's get on to more pleasant things. I'm glad you're well. I mean, obviously good, still in recovery,
good,
but
good recovery.
He walked. He got out of his car and he walked to meet us for coffee. So, you know, he's making it.
The first day out of the hospital, I played my trumpet. I was in the hospital 4 days, and when I got home, I picked up my trumpet. I could only play for 3 minutes, and I was exhausted. But I played, and I played every day after that. And that's now, good. Back to normal.
Still following the beat of a different drum. Ba-boom.
As it were.
Yes. Speaking of that, why don't we go ahead and play one of your tunes? What would you like? Give us a little bit about number seven.
Number seven
on
is...
On what album is that? Give us the album name. There it is.
Thank you. I think it's this one.
He needs to look up his albums for a moment.
We'll get it straight here in a second.
Number
No, we won't. That's not what we do here.
we'll get it slightly crooked.
Yeah.
This is called Soulful Tune Number 3, and someday I might get around to it.
Give us a little stuff. Give us something on it.
This is a mellow song that I wrote on the harmonica, and most people don't think of me as a harp player, but it's actually my second instrument.
Not an instrument we hear very much anymore, sad to say.
I hear it.
It depends on what you listen to.
Yes, but you were on oxycodone.
I hear harmonica.
I hear lots of things.
I gave a harmonica lesson my third week. She came to. I had this. You know, I had a cast up to here, and I had a foot thing, and I said, "Well, I couldn't give you a drum lesson, but actually, I can give you a harmonica lesson."
What were you advertising either? Music lessons by rigor mortis.
She called me. She had heard me at an open mic, and she really liked the way I played harmonica. And so I said, "Yeah, I could breathe well enough to do that." And so I felt like, well, at least I'm doing something here. And it's 2 months of. Okay, so this is Soulful Tune Number 3. It's written as mellow. To me, it's this gray, kind of laid back day, and I thought this might be.
He's trying to compliment the outside.
A good song, a good song for the day.
All right, here we go.
Alex Weiss.
So, what album is it from?
It's from
Beautiful Melody album. Thank you.
Yes, I heard them birdies there. Was that the oxycodone yeah. kicking in?
That's what he felt like after he landed in the grass.
And I wonder what that woodpecker was symbolic of. Didn't I hear something? It sounded like a woodpecker.
It did sound like a woodpecker, but it was a frog, some kind of frog.
Ah, okay. Beautiful song, by the way. I love harmonica.
Yeah. Now, was that... I brought one along
with me, too, actually.
Was that a chromatic?
Okay, good.
Was that a chromatic harmonica?
No.
No, it's just regular?
It's a regular... Diatonic.
Yeah. Good, rich sound on that.
You know, with the influence, I play that in a straight style. There's a great harmonica player who's still alive and making good music, I think. His name is Lee Oscar. He came from the band War.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, he has this beautiful sound, and it was that sound that influenced some of that tune, for instance, that I picked up on. Yeah.
Hmm.
Very nice.
That's a beautiful piece, and it sort of makes you think of a tropical rainy day kind of feel.
Yeah.
And what was the bass?
Dreary in a charming
way.
What
was the bass instrument?
Well, there was bass guitar and there was
a
banjo.
It's an acoustic bass guitar?
Yeah, he played for that.
I like the way those sound.
Brian has electric and acoustic, and he used acoustic for songs that feel that way.
It has a great sound to it. I really like the way that thing sounds.
Brian Pearl on bass. And the engineer was the guy that played banjo. He's a great guitar player and string instrument player, and I forgot his name now. He has a studio. Oh, what was his name? It'll come to me.
Give us the name of the album again.
The name of the album, the CD that came from was Beautiful Melody CD. So I kind of compiled most beautiful of my compositions melody. That I thought kind of focused on the beautiful melody aspect.
I like that, and I don't think I have a copy of this album. So.
Well, I'll get you
it's
one.
One I gotta get. Yeah.
It's yours.
Well, where can people get?
Yes, where can they get it? Give us your website and information you might want to pass
out. www.differentdrum.us, and you could buy it through the website, or you can contact me personally from the website, my email, and I believe it's sold through CD Baby or the back seat of my car.
Oh yeah, huh.
Whenever we
that's my shopping center.
Wherever we perform, you know, I always have the CDs out for sale. But anyone could contact me, call my cell 919-491-5089.
That was brave.
Say that again.
Is that brave?
Repeat that. Go ahead. Repeat that number.
Repeat that so they can find you.
People won't remember it. You gotta give it back to them.
919-491-5089.
There you go.
And if all else fails, you can always go to www.claudioarts.com. And I'll remind you. That's my website, by the way, and it's got all the... it has all the radio show archives, as well as the current shows are all being podcasts, so you can download them. You'll be able to download Alex's later on today or tomorrow, whenever John Paul gets it up. Be in the next couple of days anyway. So much for that. Yeah. Why don't you give us a bit of I know you have an agenda for shows you're going to be doing now that you're up on both legs again.
Yeah.
Give us a bit of a rundown on what's coming up.
August was the physical therapy, and September is the music therapy.
Aha.
Yeah.
And that one sounds like a lot more fun.
Yeah. Let's see, Tuesday, September 8th. Oh, that's today. It's here.
It is.
I'm on your show.
That's right. September 8th.
Here we are.
Are we there already? My goodness.
We're at September 8th.
We fell right into September.
Next Sunday, we'll be out. Well, I call it this neck of the woods. It's the Chatham County Marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be out there, I think, from 11 to 2.
Where is that?
It's in Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay.
And I haven't been there yet, so I can't get
there either.
I'll have to look it up.
Chatham County Marketplace should be easy to find in Pittsburgh.
I hear it's like the Weaver Street version in Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh is a cool place. Yeah. I spent some time living there, and I really liked it. Lots of happy hippies have settled there. I fit right in with that bunch.
Mm. And so that's next Sunday. Friday the 18th will be downtown Durham in a performance with a West African dance troupe. Well, they're opening the show.
Downtown Durham where?
Right in the downtown Durham Park. There's a bowl there.
Oh, okay.
CCB Plaza, I believe it's called.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it in the center of Durham. It's a cute little park.
Okay, it's not Bull Durham.
No.
Not that area. Okay.
No, it's not the stadium. It's right downtown.
Gotcha, okay.
Yeah, it's right there where if you go past where you turn left to go to the theater, the Carolina Theater, it's there on the right, isn't it? You go straight.
Yeah, that's
from,
right.
From under the bridge. You pass by the police station, go under the railroad bridge, and just keep going straight, and it'll be on your right there.
Yeah. Correct. Right in the kind of towards the post office.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll be there. And this should be interesting because the dance troupe is going to do West African dance, and I think they're going to teach and talk a little bit about the culture of.
Do you have any idea who they are, the dance?
Yes, I do, and I know that Telly is the drummer, and they call themselves. Let's see, there's a name for their troupe. Let's see if I wrote it.
Just
down.
Just wondering if it had anything to do with the African Dance Festival that comes up there every year. It's probably a different group altogether.
Well, this is a smaller troupe, and it's not like. Bella, it starts with a B. You know,
it's not Anjanie Bell, is it? No. Bell and Dance? Okay. Would it be Bell and Dance? I think
it's
I've heard
called,
something.
If it was lighter in here, I could read it.
Bell
and Cora is the name of their troupe.
Bell and Cora.
Bell and Cora.
Okay, no, we had Bell and Dance Company on the radio
thing,
show. That was Anjanie Bell.
This is a small, I think they're relatively new, maybe a couple of years.
Okay, Bell and Cora.
Yeah, and West African. And then we're going to bridge it. We're going to take that West African, start with a West African tune, and then bring it to the Caribbean.
Beautiful.
And directly connecting the rhythms. And we're going to do all Caribbean music. Uh-huh. We're going to be Cuban, son, and Guajira, which is my favorite, that slow, warm sound. Some salsa, but we're going to also do merengue and compa, which is from Haiti. We traveled in Haiti last January. And I was so influenced by the music. It was very beautiful.
You traveled in Haiti?
Yeah, we did.
How did you make it?
Was it?
This is another story. You'll have to have me back next
time. It was an adventure. Sounds like
an
adventure.
Well, fortunately, my wife's parents live there right now. Yeah. He's an agricultural expert.
It's still a bit unsettled, though, politically, isn't it?
I guess that's relative.
Depends on whose relatives.
We didn't have a problem. It would be hard getting around there. The country lacks the infrastructure that we're used
mm-hmm.
to, say.
Yeah.
The roads are iffy. There's no traffic lights, for instance. It wouldn't make sense to have traffic lights when you only have electricity part of the time.
I spent time in the Dominican Republic, and you have mansions on one side of the street and tin shacks on the other. Yeah,
and actually in Haiti, if you go to Port-au-Prince and you go up in, there's a little area that's wealthy. You could be anywhere. You could be out of L.A.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, everything exists everywhere, but most of the Haitians do not live like that.
Right.
Simply. And it's pretty populated country.
They were peddling,
very beautiful.
They were peddling goat cheese on the streets to tourists when I was there.
Goat cheese and plantains and sugar cane.
Exactly.
And you know, once you're out of the city, you need to either speak Creole or have someone that you know that speaks the language, because they don't. French would help, but maybe you could do that. But
I don't speak French.
No, you don't.
No,
your name.
I do speak kitchen French. Anyway.
But for us, it was helpful that we had her folks, and her folks had drivers and people that we were able to get around. And we spent some time there in the parks and playing. I brought my bongos and played with them, and they would. There was one troubadour, one kind of a guitar player troubadour that taught me the rhythms, and we went back and forth playing stuff like Santana. He knew everything.
Right.
We had a great time, and every day I'd go in the park and set up, and he'd come some days, another bongo player would come some days. The kids would always gather around. I'd pass around my percussion instruments, take up the horn, and we'd have a little jam session every day. And this is in, it's a beautiful little town in the mountains, right by the... But so Haiti is, it's a hard place to just go in, but fortunately we...
It just has such a reputation of always being in a bit of a political paradox.
Political, but also...
It's always amazed me that the Dominican Republic has never suffered from it.
Yeah, it's...
Somehow they must have one hell of a good border, because those people don't cross it and start trouble on the other side.
I think the Haitians' attitude is a little bit different than some other... I think that they seem to like... They didn't want to be like other people. Like, when I've gone to other places in Africa and other places I've traveled, a lot of times you find, not everybody, but some people want to imitate Western ways or want to be different or curious about technology. And the Haitians, not that they weren't at all, but they seem to not really... As a matter of fact, sometimes they look at me like, what are you doing here?
You know? Well, the Haitians...
They're proud of themselves and who they are.
Well, for one, now they have a puppet. Government, a U.S. puppet government. The United States was part of the coup that overthrew Aristide.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so,
and the UN is their army right now. They patrol.
Oh, is that?
Well, that's probably one of the reasons.
But I didn't find...
So Papa Doc is out.
Well, that's been a long time since
I know,
Papa
I know,
Doc,
I'm teasing.
Of course. But, yeah, I mean, Aristide was actually elected. And of
but
course,
the Papadoc flavor lasted a long time.
The U.S. can't allow somebody to actually be elected in a country like that.
That's right. No. Heavens.
I know it's embarrassing to be an American when you're traveling sometimes.
Oh,
These days especially.
And, you know, that's probably why they looked at me like, what are you doing
here?
What are you doing in my country?
But we were treated relatively good. Most Haitians, people are people, you know, everywhere.
Yeah.
It's the politicians that don't qualify as people. There's my dark side coming out.
Everywhere.
Right.
Everywhere.
But
unfortunately,
I
took some of the musical influence and brought it back with me.
The beautiful. Good for you. Yeah, well, you've always been influenced in that direction. When I first met you at the Carolina Theater, I was stage managing. Yeah. Who did you open for?
Tierney Sutton.
What a cutie, yeah. Tierney Sutton, yeah, she was a babe.
Yeah, she.
I remember. I flirted with her because I was stage manager, so I had a little leeway.
She was back there backstage. She looked at me and said, "So you're Alex Weiss with Different Drum, right?" She said, "You know, my band, all the members voted for you to open for us of the different people. They all wanted you." And she looked
That's
at me. She said,
statement.
"You better not show me up."
Very cool.
She was good though. She didn't have to worry about it.
Yeah, she was a sweetie. She got away a lot on looks alone, I'm sure. Looked a bit like, had a real Scottish look to her, but beautiful.
And austere, kind of.
Beautiful, yeah. Beautiful creature to look at. She was flirting her tail off with, and it was a bass player or a piano player, I'm not sure now anymore. I wouldn't want to point the finger, but he wasn't responding to her. So I have no idea what went on there.
So, no comment.
No comment. No, just erase that one. I had to walk her back to her hotel room. She was staying at the what's the place right next to?
What is it now?
It's changed hands. I'm not sure if it's
Marriott.
I think it used to be a Marriott, but the building next door to the Carolina Theater.
Yeah, it's been everything now.
Yeah, it's taken off its mustache and becomes
the hotel.
Else. Right,
adjoining hotel. Door and everything.
That's it.
I used to have the key to that adjoining door.
Me too. Never got me anywhere though.
Well, it got me in and out the door.
That's it. So the security guy could look at you and go, "How'd you get in?" That was about
Actually, the security guy did not have a key.
Oh.
Because the lock was on our side.
That's right. No, that's right.
That's right.
Not, they couldn't get into the Carolina, but we could get into there. So anyway, back to you, now that we've left Haiti and the Dominican Republic and we're over at the Marriott.
I know how we got. And we got to this because I was talking about that one gig where I was going to focus on some of all the Caribbean music.
The musical influences.
Yeah.
And Haiti is right up in there. With the music that appeals to me the most tends to be from the islands that have the largest African influence,
mm-hmm.
which is Cuba and Haiti.
That was my original connection with you because when you did the opening act,
Trinidad.
We did Abdullah Ibrahim's song from South Africa.
Yes, that's what it was.
Yeah, and there you go. All right.
That's when I approached you and I gave you my CD and I said we need to talk about doing some work together.
You were
sometime.
Very quiet then. I've never seen you so quiet since.
Well, you only see me on radio. I'm quiet as a stage manager unless something blows up.
You're very subtle. Yeah, you just slip me the card. Yep.
That's it. So anyway, let's go on for more of what you got coming up.
All right, after that gig, which features the West African
group. And give us that date again and time
September 18th. It's a Friday. It's their third Friday series. Parks and Recreation puts that on. And Brahma Moiwe from Sierra Leone will be... He's from Sierra Leone, but he's also an educator throughout this area in African culture. Will be like MC storyteller. And then the following Saturday, or is it the following? Saturday, September 26th, will be at Everybody's Day Festival in Thomasville.
Thomasville, where you told me.
And that's
one of the places I perform occasionally, yes.
Mm.
Through Curtis Ingram, if you're listening. We need to get together, buddy. Give me a buzz.
And then, let's see, same day we will be, that'll be a busy day for me, us really, but me for building up my stamina because we're going from Everybody's Day Festival to Charlotte International Festival at UNC Charlotte.
Goodness, okay.
We'll be playing there in the afternoon, the four-piece ensemble.
Is that just one day or is it the weekend?
Well, that's just one day. That's Saturday. Sunday we'll be in Fayetteville.
Oh,
and they really
would have
wanted us the weekend, but by the time they wanted us, we were already booked for Saturday. And Fayetteville, I'll be doing three gigs.
Let me know when you do that, because Fayetteville's not very far from where I live, in
Broadway. Yeah, Fayetteville, so that's the 27th. Okay. That's a Sunday. But if you're, I really recommend, it's my our favorite festival in North Carolina.
Really?
I think.
Wow.
The Fayetteville International Folk Festival.
Okay.
It's a 2-day festival, 26th and 27th is Asian, East Indian or really Asian dance troupes from all over, and not just Asian, but there's dance troupes and mimes and jugglers and Bavarian brass band. I mean, there's just an array of multicultural bands.
Sounds almost like the International Dance Festival.
And food, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sounds neat.
Fayetteville. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, remind me on that one. And
Do we have time? Then
go on.
I'm almost done. But anyway, that's the September focus, which I've been practicing every day, getting my wrist, my broken wrist, to work for the drums, and my lungs to work for my horn, and it's been kind of a good therapy to focus on the music that
gives you a goal.
Mm-hmm. And let's see, we have the next. We'll be right here in across the street, wine show on October 10th, the Carborough Wine Show.
It's where?
Yeah, that's Weaver Street. I'm sorry, that's Weaver Street.
Pointing doesn't count on the air.
The Weaver Street. Thank you, Glenn.
Yes.
I don't have the experience. The Weaver Street Wine Show is October 10th.
It's visual radio, ladies and gentlemen, with Alex.
And then on Sunday, the 11th, will be Chicory Hills, which is also a good, good 3-day festival.
Yeah, that's quite a popular festival.
It's got a strong reputation. Yeah. I want to remind you folks, this is Claudio Speakeasy, the literary and all else on WCOM 103.5 FM, in the studio with my co-host John Paul McClellan.
Yo-ho.
And Alex Weiss of I shouldn't say different drum. Different drum.
But it's been said all different ways.
I'm sure it has.
I'm sure.
I want to also mention that next week we've got Ali McPherson and Kim Andrews coming on from the Century Center in Carborough. They're going to catch us up with all things going on. Festival's going to be coming up. The poetry thing is coming up again, and so on. So we're going to touch base on all that with them next Tuesday. And that's pretty much the game plan. The reason I have been gone for a few weeks, I won't say exactly how many, is because I've gotten involved in a film project. There's a movie being made in North Carolina that may translate into a television series.
I was going to ask you about that.
Oh, well, I'm glad you did.
Yes.
Thank you so much. It's called The Rusty Bucket Kids Club right now. That may just be a working title, but the whole concept of the story, it is being produced and promoted by Studio in the Woods, Inc.,
and it's a train that goes
John Demers,
through and time.
Also want to mention while I'm at this, our primary sponsor is the Carolina Theatre of Durham. They have all sorts of events coming up. Just check their listings as well. They've got I don't have the list of all upcoming events in front of me. I don't think we have them on computer just yet. But anyway, they're getting ready to jump back into season, so check and see what's going on there. And back to the train, the Rusty Bucket Kids Club. The concept is it is about a train that travels through time and takes children of today back to yesterday to meet people like Abraham Lincoln, Edgar Allan Poe, Henry David Thoreau, and the like, but to meet them as children before they have any idea about their own legend or, you know, their own story.
Right.
And the intent of the production is to inspire children to be able to relate to these other children and then possibly pursue them and study the history.
I think it would make them be able to relate to the people so much better, because I'm sure even as children those the qualities that Abraham Lincoln had
fame out of it and just show them as the regular people they were and then show what they became later. And the idea behind this is the hopefulness is to inspire children to study history to find out what became of these people later on. And I am the mystical conductor on board this train. I'll actually be narrating the stories, telling the stories, and I'll have a part to play in each episode by taking them through the time portal. Good. We did some interesting filming. We're using a real steam engine locomotive, and it's quite beautiful. Don't want to mention too much more on that subject because I have not been permitted to go much beyond this, but I'll actually read something I wrote that might do a better job of describing this. This is something I wrote a couple of days before actually going on and being filmed for 12 hours on that day that we rented the train station for they did a musical soundtrack. And at some point I'm going to have the whole gang on and we'll be able to analyze this whole lot more. But this is a poem that I think might explain it better than I can in few words. Like I said, working title is The Rusty Bucket Kids Club. The constant clickety-clack where the wheels meet the track are the lull bidding time to return. Down the way, there's a pass between meadow and grass, where yesteryears offer something to learn. The conductor still smiles as he journeys the miles toward yesterday's youthful refrains, and he holds onto his hat with a wink during his chat, when nothing of the present remains. As the train rolls along between valley and song, familiar histories begin to unveil, where great souls of their day are mere children at play, unaware of their legend or tale. Now the train squeals and skids with the rusty bucket kids, and finally slows all the way down, as they enter a place that bears yesterday's face, with their anxious feet running aground.
That's nice.
That's the idea for the story. And my character is to be something in the vein of, they're actually letting me cultivate much of it on my own, but I do have to work with a screenwriter. And it's going to be sort of a cross between Rex Harrison in The Ghost and Mrs. Muir, so I can get to be a little ornery and cut and dry, and then Sebastian Cabot in A Family Affair,
sort of
a cross between those two characters who takes them through this time portal. So that's what I've been tied up in lately. The reason I haven't been on air, and we've been feeding you reruns. That's the word, yeah.
That's
and of course,
word.
As it were.
We've changed the rerun now.
Oh, good, thankfully.
Yes.
Speaking of which, I'd like you to make a brief mention of Gerald LeBaron, who will be on our evergreen at this point. Of course, we won't be using it for a while.
Yeah, we changed to Gerald LeBaron's show that we did with him, who's the guy who has the Honesty in Government project.
The Plight, yes.
And I don't remember the website, but if you Google Honesty in Government, you'll come up with his website.
Or Gerald LeBaron, L-E-Baron.
Yeah. And it's basically, as it sounds, a quest by him
to bring
honesty into government. I wouldn't say bring it back.
No, right.
I would say bring it in.
Bring it in the first place.
Yeah, because...
He should hook up with Ralph Nader.
Oh, I'm sure he's got some contacts like that. He's actually working pretty strong with the legislature in California to get some laws passed.
Well, his group is heavily contacting the legislature out there, trying to get them to pass a piece of legislation that will, at least the idea behind it is to bring honesty.
Well, it is actually to get the legislature to read all of the written material that they are basing and passing laws on.
Well, more specifically, the law would read that before any legislator can vote for a piece of legislation, final passage,
any piece of legislation,
that legislature must sign an affidavit that they have actually read the entire piece of legislation on which they're voting yes.
And they're actually
If they vote no, they don't. That's not the same requirement.
They're actually holding rallies that basically are under the flag of, if you don't read it, we don't need it. So, you know, get off your butts and read what you're passing laws on.
Hmm. Right. And of course, the reason that they've done it the way they've done it is because there are too many pieces of legislation for every legislature to actually read every page of.
Have people working for them that could actually honestly, you know, inform them.
Well, that's what they do. They do have, I mean, you know, but of course the pieces of legislations that are not going to pass just because of the political realities, it would be a waste of time for the legislatures to read those. Unfortunately, that's the way the system works. And
that is their job description. They should read it.
They're overloaded with legislation. So
then get another job.
Well, it's not them.
Don't you dare defend them.
I'm not defending them. It's the system.
Yeah. That's correct.
That is messed up.
Like the court system and all the systems.
Yeah, the systems are well, they're controlled by the corporations.
Absolutely. The
at
special
every
interests.
Level. And so that's why you get... Everything's bogged down. It's almost, I mean, it seems to me like it's intentional.
They don't
want people to be able to really understand what's going on. So Gerald's plan is to have a law that requires legislators to read every bill that they vote yes on.
And you can certainly look these up too on our archives or podcasts now by going to my website, claudio@claudioarts.com. Well, no, did I get that? No, the website is www.claudioarts.com. Let me get it right. And you can just go to the radio show archives and either check out the archives or the podcasts, which have been put up, since June? every show we've done since June
since
this
June
year.
June 16th.
Yeah, is podcast. The others are still just archived, but you can download them very
But they're
easily.
On the same. They're on the next button under exactly. the podcasts. So you can get all the old shows
just
that way.
Click on the clickers. Well, now that we've gone from the special interest Gestapo, we're back to Alex Weiss, who's sitting here just absolutely stunned, going, "How did I get in this?
Yeah, why? Where did I? How did I get involved?
I did not
in
come
this?
Here. I didn't sign any paperwork that brings me here.
The way you say my name, it always makes me think he's talking about someone else.
Alex Weiss. Well, that's how it's
well,
said
that's
in German.
He's doing the German pronunciation.
How would you like me to say it, Alex Weiss?
You could just call me Señor Blanco.
Oh, Blanco.
Señor Blanco.
Oh, tell us about this thing that you and your wife do. The storytelling aspect in multilingual.
Years ago, I felt like music. I was trying to reach kids. A lot of what we do, and what I do, is work in the schools, residencies, mm-hmm. and performances. And in the residencies, I was doing each day a different culture, and I would bring in sometimes food. I would dress accordingly. I would teach them a little bit of the language, if it was Arabic or if it was, you know, depending on the culture. And I branched into storytelling because I would take a story from that culture, mm-hmm. usually one that I could fit music to and bridge the music in the stories and then get them involved eventually doing the music in the story. But so I before long, I was a storyteller. I learned story upon story. And after a few years of doing that, and I realized I had a dozen stories I knew well by heart, and not only that, but choreographed or orchestrated music with, mm-hmm. Then it kind of like, wow, this is a good way to share a culture. Because the stories absolutely. That I take from Brazil, from Cuba, from Senegal.
Now, you and your wife do this together?
She does when I can get her to, she does.
Character names? I think you told me.
Well, if you look at me again, you see in the studio, you can't tell, but my hair is all white. And it's also a pun, which you would know, because one of the definitions of vice is white.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So I kind of use the double meaning and call myself Mr. White, Señor Blanco.
Blanco.
We're just going to call you the Mighty Whitey. How's that?
That's good. That'll work.
No, that's
I think that's my reserve.
That's your nickname.
My wife, who was raised in Central America but from Taiwan, is fluent in Mandarin and Spanish and English. And in Latin America, the term for Chinese girl is Chinita.
Oh, really? Time,
yeah, we'd walk down the street. We were in Guatemala. You know, go, Chinita, Chinita. Yeah.
Hey.
It's not always the most endearing
It's not
term.
Exactly. You know,
that's just before you get slapped by the husband. Yeah. Big guy walking down the street.
Well, anyway, so we call ourselves Señor Blanco and La Chinita. There's actually a song called La Chinita that we do that comes from the Andes.
Well, speaking of songs, do you want us to play one more before we have our show exit?
Would it be hard to switch it on you?
No, what do you want?
Let's see.
Switching.
Since we're talking about Latin, why don't we do a Latin one?
Okay.
Why don't we?
This is number 13 on this CD. Can we do that?
If you can get
that's
that.
On the other one, the first
so
CD.
So just eject the one you've got.
On that one. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, you're going to have to talk a little bit while I change.
Tell us
the
about
CDs.
What we're
okay.
What we're
since we're
to.
And the reason I'm doing that is because we're talking about the Latin flavor. And this is a CD we did. We recorded live in our living room and brought in. Well, of course, the band and my favorite engineer Bob Gowdy, who has been helping me with the last few CDs, and. The special guests on this, and they're now back in Colombia, but at the time, Hector Cano played congas and flute and guitar for different drum for at least 2 years, and Claudia taught English in Raleigh. Hmm. Claudia was his wife, and Claudia sings
I'm not his
like
wife.
A bird.
Oh, Claudia, sorry.
Claudia. Claudia Gomez is technically.
I thought I'd take a moment to slip in there.
They're both Colombians, and when Hector joined the band, he didn't speak any English. He wanted to join the band. He said, yo toque la trompeta, because he also plays trumpet. And I said,
you speak trumpet, okay.
I play trumpet, and I said, he said that, and I said, well, so I already have a trumpet player, me. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
but he's so versatile. He learned more English, and he plays guitar. He could play bass.
Wow.
And he plays the cano, the flute, the cane flute, the bamboo flute, wonderfully.
So tell us what we're about to hear.
So you're about to hear one concert we did. We featured Claudia on vocals, and you could hear Hector in the band. So this is Claudia singing El Caritero.
And do we have enough time on this one?
It's a Cuban song.
Yeah, we got it.
Okay.
Well, Yeah,
this is live.
We may have to fade
this
out.
This may take us to the end, folks.
It'll take us near the end, but we'll play it all.
Good enough. Here's Alex Weiss.
And Different Drum live, a live recording at our house concert.
All right. Here we go.
Was Alex Weiss.
Different drum. Claudio.
Mr. Bianco. Yes.
Senor Blanco.
Blanco, sorry. Blanco,
you're,
Blanco.
You're thinking
Bianco.
Of white wine.
Blanco. Yeah. I was thinking of white wine. Never mind.
We're not there yet. Hey, I want to tell you, it's been a pleasure being on the show,
Claudio. It's always
Claudio.
Fun having you on.
It definitely is a speakeasy.
That's the
and
idea.
And John Paul, thank you both for doing what you do. And
you're very welcome. Yeah.
Thank you. Appreciate
glad
being acknowledged. I want to say very quickly that I would like to thank the Carolina Theater for being our primary sponsor, as well as Studio in the Woods with John Demers, the independent film company, And John Paul for co-hosting so wonderfully. Alex Weiss for being on again. There is actually an earlier archive of having had you on, so you're part of the Speakeasy family at this point. No excuse for you anymore. It's Hotel California. You can never leave.
That's right.
And this is Claudio.
And we are going to have the John Paul Truth Quest coming right up.
That's right.
If anybody wants to stay around and, you know, talk about stuff, you're welcome to do so.
Appreciate that.
Otherwise, you know, we'll just carry on.
Otherwise, it's a show well worth tuning into. He's at least as friendly to politicians as I am, so.
Yeah, really? Yes, indeed.
This is, then, the Speakeasy signing off until next week. Cheers.
Cheers.
Ach, I am.